Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday morning to you. Welcome to another morning devotional and prayer time in the Psalms. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and today we are in Psalm 70, and it is good to be with you on this Friday morning. Good coffee, good time in God's Word. What a great way to start the day together. Psalm 70 is a short one. This week, the last couple times, Wednesday, Monday, we looked at longer psalms. Psalm 70 is very short, very direct. It does kind of pick up on the theme from Psalm 69 of crying out to God in distress, seeking God for rescue, which does connect us to the agonies of Christ on the cross. But let's pray and dig into this wonderfully short and helpful psalm. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for your faithfulness and for your unfailing love and mercy. You are our God and our Father. You are our strength and our shield. You are our deliverer, the one who rescues us from sin and death, the one who sets us in heaven with you. We are seated right now, spiritually, in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And when we see him face to face, we will be like him, because your faithfulness is unfailing. So we ask that you would teach us through Psalm 70 this morning. Write this psalm on our hearts. Help us to see you, to understand you, to love you more for the time we spend in your word together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 70 is written to the choir master of David for the memorial offering. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. I didn't do that right. Let me put it over here so you can actually see it. Sorry. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to help me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. And that's it. That's the whole psalm, five verses. And we can see the directness and the urgency. And the ESV translators do a good job of this with the proper use of exclamation points. There's no punctuation in the original Hebrew. And so translators bring that out. I, on the side, as a hobby, I continue to teach high school English and history. And so I've been teaching high school English for a while now. I started in the fall of 1997, a year before we got married. Anyway, one of my pet peeves when I teach high schoolers writing is the overuse of exclamation points. But in Psalm 70, we do not have an overuse of exclamation points. We have an appropriate use because of the desperate, urgent plea of this psalm. But you can see there are eight of them in five verses. So the ESV translators have done a good job of bringing out this urgency. And it's also brought out in the make haste that's repeated in verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Please hurry. There's a desperation in David here for God to come to his rescue. There's three lines of imprecatory prayer. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. And again, we can connect this psalm because it follows right after Psalm 69, which we know was Christ's agony on the cross, we can connect this to the agony of Christ as he was suffering on the cross. And we know that there were those who conspired against him. There were those who mocked him. There were those who taunted him. And while Jesus did very graciously pray from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He also, on the way to the cross, foretold that Jerusalem would be overthrown and would be judged. And make no mistake that in AD 70, when Jerusalem was overthrown and judged, a large part of what they were being overthrown and judged for was their rejection, their violent rejection of the Son of God, who came to be their Savior and who they rejected so cruelly. So there is an urgency here. But then there is the positive. It's not just imprecatory prayer against the enemies, but it's also a wonderfully encouraging prayer here in Psalm 70, verse 4. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. Now, if you've been with us for our Psalms devotionals, what is the word salvation here? What is the original Hebrew word for salvation? It is Yeshua. It is the name of Jesus. Jesus' name is salvation. You will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So, may those who love Jesus, who is the salvation of God, say evermore, God is great. So at the foot of the cross, there were those who loved Jesus. There was his mother Mary. There was Mary Magdalene. There was the other Mary, the wife of Cleopas. There was John, the beloved disciple. And so there were those there who loved Jesus. And there's a prayer here that they would not be discouraged, that they would not be cast down, but that they would be able to even rejoice. And of course, after the resurrection, when they understood why Jesus was dying, what he was doing for them, they are able to rejoice. And today, all of us who love the Lord, all of us who love the Lord Jesus by his grace, are able to rejoice in the cross, even though it's a bloody, terrible, torturous, agonizing, death of the Son of God and the precious Lamb of God and our Savior and our Lord. We can rejoice at the cross because we know that Jesus there has become our salvation. That line that's repeated in the Psalms, the Lord has become my salvation. That happens at the cross. The Lord, God Almighty, becomes our salvation on the cross. So he wants all of us who seek God and who love him to be able to rejoice and be glad and to say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to help me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Psalm 70, in being so short and so direct, is a reflection of Christ and his urgent pleas, right, which we see in Hebrews 5. I've made reference to this verse in previous Psalms studies, and I wanted to actually put it up on screen and share it with you. This is what Hebrews says about these kinds of things that Jesus cried out during his days, the days of his flesh, as it says. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now this verse 9, the last verse here in Hebrews 5, this passage, has tripped up a lot of Christians over the years because they thought, I thought Jesus was already perfect. How come Hebrews says being made perfect? Is that a good translation of that? It is a good translation of that. He was made perfect as the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You see, he had to learn obedience through what he suffered. He was sinless, he was spotless, without sin or stain or shadow or even a thought of sin. Jesus is the Holy Lamb of God. But in going to the cross, remember his agony in the garden. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not what I will, but your will be done. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not what I will, but your will be done. And then his agony on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus had to learn through the suffering, which you have to have a human nature to do. You see, God, as God, cannot suffer. He is above and beyond all suffering. Sometimes the Bible uses language of suffering about God, but it's just condescending to us to show us God's love for us. God himself does not suffer. God cannot suffer. Jesus had to take on flesh in order to suffer and in order to suffer for us to become the source of eternal salvation for us. So when we read in Psalm 70, may those who love your salvation, in order for Jesus to become our salvation, he had to suffer and suffer greatly. And as he suffered greatly, he offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard. He was heard. He was resurrected from the dead because of his reverence. So this is showing us the depth of the cries of Christ and the wonderful answer of God the Father. But it's also something that we can pray for ourselves. All of the Psalms point us to Christ, and then through Christ, they become our prayers as well. So sometimes when we go to the Psalms, we just sort of shortcut it and directly appropriate the Psalm for ourselves. But I think the best way to do it is to see Christ in the Psalms and then through Christ to make it our own, to see it as being ours. And I think that's an important distinction to make. It's not just a minor theological point. We have every right to sing and pray the Psalms because of Christ and because of what he has done for us, and for no other reason than that. We don't really have any other right but because he suffered it for us, and he is the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. But in Christ and through Christ, Psalm 70 becomes our psalm to cry out. So in Christ and through Christ, we can say, make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. We can say, you are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Now, what kinds of things might we cry out to God with such urgency about? What would cause us to be so desperately urgent for God to deliver us? Well, let's go to the Apostle Paul, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, the end of Romans 7 and the beginning of Romans 8, and we'll see the kind of thing that ought to cause a believer in Christ to cry out to God with this kind of urgency, as we see the Apostle Paul do it. He says, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my mind. Sorry. I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Can you relate to that? I know that if you're a believer, you can relate to that. You have had this experience. I want to do right, but evil lies close at hand. I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but in my outer person, in my life, I see this other law at work, and it's like a war being waged. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You see, there's that urgent plea. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And because of Jesus, the Apostle Paul can immediately go on and say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, there's a lot in there. We don't have time to unpack it all, but here's the short version. Here's the Cliff Notes version, if you remember Cliff Notes from back in the day. We are desperate to be rid of our sin if we love the Lord. We feel the wretchedness of the contradiction of the war that wages within us. And Romans 8 is the answer to that cry. Really, the whole of Romans 8 is the answer to that cry. And Romans 8 tells us there is no condemnation for our sin because Jesus took it all on himself. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That sentence right there is all about what Jesus did on the cross, what God the Father did for us in Christ Jesus on the cross. So there's no condemnation for us. The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us if we live according to the Spirit, if we belong to Jesus by faith in him. And then later in Romans 8, we'll talk about the hope of the resurrection that's coming when our bodies will be finally and fully redeemed. And then it ends with a beautiful message that there's no separation from the love of God in Christ Jesus for the believer. So Romans 8 is really the answer to this cry. But this cry is the kind of thing that we can cry out to God using the words of Psalm 70. So we sin, we blow it. You know, we lose our temper, we engage in sinful gossip, you know, we lust, we covet, we lie, and we just know it's wrong, and we know we shouldn't have done it, and we just are brokenhearted about it, and we just want to be rid of our sin. Amen? Do we just want to be rid of our sin? And so we can cry out, Psalm 70, make haste, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And we know that Satan is the one who attacks us. He's the one who's always after us. We know the world is always trying to conform us to its pattern. We know our flesh is always raging against us. And so we can cry out to God about the world and the flesh and the devil. And they can be those who put us to shame and confusion, those who delight in our hurt, those who say, aha, aha, and Father, would you get rid of the enemies of our soul? But we know other believers are suffering with us. Other believers are struggling along with us. And so, Father, may all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. I am unable to conquer the sin in my heart and the sin in my members. I am unable to deliver myself. So hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. So that's how we can go from a psalm to Jesus and to ourselves in Christ. Psalm 70. It's a reminder to us that sometimes we just need an urgent plea to God for deliverance. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this psalm. Short, it packs a punch. And we need it. Because we're sinful human beings. We are sinful wretches. What wretched people we are, living this contradiction of loving your law in our hearts, but seeing another law at work in our members. Make haste to deliver us. O Lord, save us. Rescue us from this body of death, that we might glorify you in holiness and in joy forevermore. Thank you for Jesus, who cried out to you. Thank you that you answered him, and that through him we have the guarantee of deliverance. As an anchor for our souls, we have this guarantee of deliverance. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me again this morning. Look forward to getting together again Monday morning, but of course we have worship on Sunday morning at 9:30 out at the 4-H camp in Rocks. Hope you can join us for that. We will be in Psalm 81 for our Sunday morning worship, which is a powerful, beautiful psalm. I will feed you with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I will satisfy you. Open your mouth, and I will fill you with all good things. But if my people would listen to me, that's what Psalm 81's about. If my people would listen to me, and I'm getting ready to write that sermon right now. As soon as I'm done here, I'll start crafting that sermon for Sunday. Looking forward to it, and I hope you can join us 9:30 on Sunday morning. You can join us on these same places online if you can't come out in person. But may you have a greatly blessed day today as you walk with the Lord. And when you need to, just turn to Psalm 70 to cry out to God, right?